This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And I'm giving you a witness I shared on Monday about my ministry. Years ago, I sought the Lord, what am I? And I was thinking, you know, because Brother Hagin, I worked for him, and he's always talking about the fivefold ministry, and I did books for him on those different calls. And so I sought the Lord, what am I? Apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher? And since he's told me what I am, a prophet, a teacher. But at that time, he didn't give me a fivefold answer. He pointed me to Acts 26:16 and spoke in my heart, I have made you a minister and a witness of things which you have seen and of things which you shall see. He made me know I would witness the things of the end of days, and would speak of them to his own. That's why I call this radio broadcast the Voice of One Witness. And right now I'm giving you a witness. I'm giving you a witness of I was there in the 28-day war that Israel had, and I'm giving you a witness of that. I told you that I was part of the second trip back, which I hadn't planned to go back. I was one of the representatives that CUFI, Christians United for Israel, sent to stand with Israel in the midst of the war. They sent one representative from every state. I went from Missouri. My daughter Shelley went with me. And while we were there, things just opened up for us to see and to do. We went to Sderot. This town has for 14 years been having rockets fired at them, missiles fired at them out of Gaza. There was a ceasefire. The 2 days that we went on that, there was a 2 or 3 day ceasefire during that tour that they came. So we got to go. We got to go to Sderot. We would not have gotten to go otherwise at that time during the war. We got to stand on the hill, look over into Gaza. And I'm giving you a witness of what I saw. What I saw was Israel, and I saw Hamas push them into this war. They wanted the war. That's why they did the kidnapping and murders of the three boys I talked about yesterday. And they started firing on Israel. They wanted the Arab world to back them. They wanted Hezbollah to get in on it from the north. They wanted others to get in on it. They didn't do it. But Hamas pelted Israel with missiles and with rockets that they had gotten from Iran, from Syria, other times, and they were barraging Israel with it. We went to Sderot. We went to the Iron Dome deployment site. And this, it's a wonderful thing. I'm sure God gave the invention of an anti-missile missile called the Iron Dome. And a girl, usually a girl, because they're very, they explain to us, not always, it can be a man, but the girls are quick-sighted and quick, they can watch. And they have to decide, once a missile has been fired, if what its trajectory is. Of course, machines show, technological machines, or what I call them machines, technology shows them, instruments. If that thing's going to hit a town, a building, or if it's going to land in a field. If it's going to land in the field, they let it go. I've forgotten how many seconds they told us they have. I think about 5 seconds to decide. And then if they decide that it's going to hit in a building or an inhabited place, she punches a button, and it sends up an iron dome and it intercepts. Now, they told us about a miracle. They said there was a missile, one of the long-range missiles that was fired toward Tel Aviv. Many were fired toward Tel Aviv, and the iron dome took them out. But this one, the Iron Dome failed to take it out. And it was headed toward a building, two very prominent buildings. It could have hit a building that was like Israel, our Pentagon, or could have hit another very important building. It was going to hit one of the two of them. And they sent up three Iron Domes, and none of them took it out. so it was on the trajectory to hit the buildings. One of the men in the room, all of them saw it. An east wind came out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. An east wind came and blew that missile back into the ocean. And this man said, "I was non-religious. I was a non-believer. But now I know there is a God. And I'm going to keep Shabbat this week." And he did. So God's showing up. He also showed up on a, when they went in hand-to-hand battle, and they went inside because the Hamas would set up their batteries and their ammunitions in a house or in a place where people lived, in a school, in a hospital. So they went in hand-to-hand to take out these places and houses. They heard a bird singing. You can't hear a bird singing in a battle. The firing was going on all around, but they heard a bird. And they looked up, and that little bird was seated up on a wire at the top of that house, and it was a trip wire. The house was booby-trapped. The little bird, God through the little bird, saved their lives. So there's miracles going on all the time. And they have had some people killed, but one of the reasons that they don't have as many killed is that they value the life of their people. And they send up the Iron Dome missiles. And this is what Bibi Netanyahu said. Hamas, we use our missiles to protect our people. They use their people to protect their missiles. And this brings me to what a British career officer said. He was one of the ones that spoke to us during our Solidarity to Israel trip. And he's a general. And it is his job somehow to observe the Israeli Defense Forces. I don't know who hires him to do that, but that's what he does. He observes the IDF. And he said to us, there is no army in the world like them. Before they strike a target, they first contact the place by telephone. Then they drop leaflets with maps marking spots as, not safe here, safe there, go there. Then they thump on the roof with a non-explosive they call a knock on the door. Something drops that's non-explosive. And the Gazans who heeded the warnings were lined up by Hamas and shot as collaborators because Hamas wanted them to die and become martyrs. And so if you obeyed what the Israelis said, you were collaborating with them, and they lined them up and shot them. And maybe you saw some of that. During the war, one of the persons who spoke to us too was an Israeli military officer. I'm not using his name. I know him very well. But he was speaking off the record, so I'm not going to give you his name. And he said that when an Israeli girl soldier, observer, they call them observers, spotted 13 Hamas terrorists coming up out of a tunnel near a kibbutz inside Israel, he called it a game changer. He said, we knew there were tunnels, but not to such an extent. A vast network of elaborate underground tunnels was discovered. Also uncovered was a Hamas plan for a massive attack on Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish Civil New Year, September 25th and 26th. Hamas planned to put more than 1,000 terrorists, I have heard some say 6,000, but thousands. It was their plan to put thousands of terrorists at once through the tunnels, some on motorcycles. Those things were wide enough for a motorcycle to go through, for some for a small vehicle, small pickup. And it was their plan to push them through at once and kidnap and kill Israelis. A major newspaper reporter, the Ma'ariv, had a story that they had gotten from a security source. And I'm quoting to you now what was written in Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv quoted the security sources as saying, quote, the unplanned war with Hamas prevented a disaster on the order of the Yom Kippur War. In Yom Kippur War, Israel was asleep, and Syria attacked them. They were attacked. The Yom Kippur War, 1973, Golda Meir lost her place as prime minister. The leaders did not heed the warnings, and Israel could have lost that war were it not for miracles. They did lose lots of people. So this newspaper said if those tunnels had not been discovered, there could have, and it had gone on until September 25th and 26th, there would have been a war that would have been disastrous for Israel. So in a way, I mean, you don't like to think of it like this, but you could say that the loss of the lives of those three boys was not for nothing. And it enabled their country to find out about the evil that was planned. Another person that really spoke to me while we were there was an Arab journalist who writes for the Jerusalem Post. He shed light on the hopelessness of a negotiated peace. Born in East Jerusalem, he grew up wanting to be a journalist. He began with the PLO press while Arafat was still its head. But at the same time, he enrolled in Hebrew University, where he saw something he'd never seen, a free press. He said that Israel is the only place in the Middle East where one can write three anti-government articles in a day and still go out to eat with his family or meet a group like us in a hotel. He said that could happen no place in the Arab world. He said an interesting story that he told us threw light on the unnegotiable state of things. He was in the conference Arafat called to his press after the July 2000 Camp David summit with Israeli Prime Minister Barak and U.S. President Clinton. One reporter asked Arafat, "Why did you refuse when they offered you 97% of what you ask?" After some bluster, Arafat pointed a finger toward heaven and ended with, "Because I did not want to be up there having tea with Sadat." Anwar Sadat, president of Egypt, was murdered after he signed an agreement with Israel. He was going to watch a military review of all the military of Egypt, and a Palestinian rode by and shot him dead. The Arab journalist told us that the Kerry peace process will fail because, number one, Abbas cannot implement it from PLO. PA does not have a mandate. Three, not one leader has the guts to sign it, for like Sadat, they would be killed. After he spoke, I went up to him and said, "Do you have children?" "Yes." "Where do you live to keep them safe?" "I live in Jerusalem in a Jewish neighborhood." That's where the Muslim Arab journalist was safe. We'd like you to come and join us 3:00 Sunday via live streaming billybrim.org. We have a miracle healing service with evangelist Josh Redford. There'll be miracles. If you need one, tune in. That's billybrim.org. Just watch the live webcast, 3:00 Sunday, September 21st. This is Billy Brim saying shalom, shalom. Until tomorrow, we have some important things to share this week.